that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I am PK.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Stupid fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Yep.
It's in full swing.
'Twas the night before Star Wars.
That's right.
And all through the studio, something really fucking excited.
Very fucking excited. Although, I have this pit of despair like a sarlacc in the center of my being because I just know that something is going to be spoiled for me. Only one very minor thing has been spoiled for me so far from people who have actually seen the movie. And
accidental, or were they dicks?
They were dicks because they were like, we're not going to spoil anything. And then like a sentence and a half later, they threw this thing out and they're like, well, this isn't really a spoiler. No, it really is a spoiler, kind of. I mean, it's nothing that's like earth shattering. It's nothing that's ruining my childhood or any of that nonsense that's going on.
But still,
online.
You know.
But still, like, don't tell me.
Let folks have the experience.
Right, right. And it. So I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to be that guy too. But so only one, hopefully small thing was sort of spoiled for me. Otherwise, I've just been avoiding it. I think I started my day off today by posting a picture of a Christmas stocking on Instagram, the Star Wars Christmas stocking, and saying, if you ruined it, I would shit in your stocking.
So, yep.
So that's how I've been all day, pretty much.
Yeah, man. I've gone mostly dark. I scroll swiftly through Twitter. I haven't clicked on any articles at all. And the only thing that I've been privy to is the Rotten Tomatoes number is in. And the majority, most if not all, the folks that attribute to the main number are in, and that son of a bitch is up at 97% at last check.
That I have looked at. I have looked at headlines,
yeah.
Or I have looked at overall critic score. So Rotten Tomatoes was 97. I think Metacritic was at like 88 or 87. IGN was 8.3 out of 10.
And the accuracy of those, and I take them all with a grain of salt. The tomato meter is generally kind of a crock of shit overall, and a goofy way to gauge a movie. But when you reach percentages like 97%, when you reach the extremes, a 97% or, you know, a 2% movie, chances are that's pretty in line with what you can expect the quality of the film to be. That kind of unanimity, is that a word? Did I just invented
it?
It is now. That kind of unanimity.
Zoom time.
Jesus. Is very telling and very exciting. I think we're in for a fucking ride.
Yeah, that's the only time I think Rotten Tomatoes is somewhat accurate, is in the extremes.
Yeah.
Because anything comes in at 80% or 70%, and you're kind of like, I'm still troubled by
when they have a movie that's into the 50s, you know, 55, 58%,
right.
They still give that the little rotten green blotch.
Right.
I'm like, that's still technically fresh. You're not at the halfway point. If it's 50%, what do you know, is it, you know?
I don't know, but if it's...
That tells me it's a movie.
But I'm thinking if I have a tomato and it's 47%, you know, rotten.
Well, then I'm
still throwing it away. I'm not cutting
you're
the
past
tomato
the halfway
in half.
Point. But if it's 58% rotten, there's some salvageable stuff there. You wouldn't call it all rotten at 58%, would you?
It's like a bacon lettuce.
They need a middle ground. They need a half a tomato.
Half a tomato? No. They need a guy you could throw tomatoes at. Where's Big Kev?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Where? En route.
No, listen, Big Kev works retail. This is a week before Christmas.
Yep.
He is on his way, though. He told me he was on a very local road, which, depending on how traffic goes, he could be here in 2 minutes or he can be here tomorrow. So
where is the studio here in relation to the road? Because he's not going to like Kool-Aid Man through the fucking wall.
No.
Is he?
So that road is technically Route 10 also.
Okay.
Locally, it's called Mount Pleasant. But towards the highway, it's, so that gives it cuts through Livingston and comes into West Orange. So.
And that's some sketchy driving over there too. So I hope we see Big Kev tonight and and in the future.
Yes, I hope so too.
Jesus,
we are of course. I guess depending on where you live in the world, like for example, where I'm assuming our caller for segment two is, he potentially has seen the movie already. For the rest of us, unless you had a preview or some sort of early screening of the movie, you're going to get to see it at this point in time at any hour tomorrow.
Yep.
2 p.m. tickets. I saw noon tickets, I think.
Damn.
They keep on adding showings because right. They just keep on selling out of showings.
Insane.
So and
insane.
And Disney's just like, no, there's plenty of tickets available if you want to go opening weekend, because they're calling the theaters and they're like, you better add another fucking show. You better
build another room and throw another fucking screen up, pal.
We will pull the show.
It's on you, buddy.
Exactly. So, yeah, we are like in the chaos that is me and PK are going tomorrow night.
I guess there have been some added things. You and I are tomorrow night. Yes. We get to have the luxury trip,
right.
You know, with the assigned seating. But depending on how things are going Friday morning. I took Friday morning off.
Right.
For the national holiday that is Friday morning. But
that's
an
important holiday.
The theater 5 minutes from where I live has a 3D IMAX screening ready to go at 9 a.m. and a shit ton of tickets still left. So if that's still the case Friday morning and I'm awake enough, I'm going to hop on over and take advantage of that.
See, I can't. My Friday is kind of booked because I'm going to the land of Star Wars.
Yep.
For a half a week, or a week. But no, that's one of the reasons why I'm going Thursday night. Originally, I wasn't going to go Thursday night. I was going to be like, I really want to see it, but I'm going to wait a day just because I don't want to deal with it. But I have to see it before I go away. So I'm not sure when Big Kev is seeing it. I think he's seeing it Thursday or Friday too. So we will all have seen it. Now, of course, we don't have a show until after the new year.
We're toast until that's it. Huh?
That's
until
it.
The new year's up.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Because, Christmas and New Year week, those are tough. Those are tough.
A lot going on.
So of course, when we come back in January, I know Big Kev will have seen the movie 30, 40 times. I may have seen it twice. You may have seen it twice, maybe more.
I'm looking, if Friday morning happens,
yeah,
then that means 3 minimum times are in my future because I got to bring the missus.
Of course.
You know, so, and she unfortunately has to work on Friday morning. So that's out.
Well, my missus has already said, oh, man, if it rains, maybe we'll see you while we're down there. So, because I think she kind of wants to see it, too. She's not
the
biggest Star Wars fan.
She definitely wants to see it.
Now, yeah, it's weird. She's not a big Star Wars fan. Like, she knows enough about it because she lives with me. It's kind of hard to not. But
even she got gaspy. I was present when she saw one of the trailers.
She did.
And even she got like,
yeah,
over the one. So, yeah.
So, I think...
We are all Star Wars fans this week.
We are. Well, let's talk about some other Star Wars-y type stuff before we get into some of the other news. Because I really want to save some stuff for when Big Kev gets here. So hopefully he gets here soon. Last night, did you see the Roots plus the cast of The Force Awakens do the a cappella?
That is sitting on my – that was thrown at me on Facebook by several different people. And it has yet to be in front of my face. I am – honestly, not a huge fan of Fallon, so it was one of those things like, I'll see that eventually.
But it's
my understanding it is hilarious.
Not only – well, it's – I don't even know if it's hilarious so much. It's kind of really impressive.
Oh, yeah?
And Fallon is barely part of it. It really is the Roots, to be honest with you.
Okay.
It's just like an a cappella / hummy version of John Williams' score.
Wow.
Like
– and the whole cast pops in.
Oh, yeah.
In
John
Boyega, squares,
Daisy
right?
Ridley, the guy that's playing Poe Dameron, whose name
I saw,
is eluding me
Gwendolyn,
right now.
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac, Gwendolyn Christie is in there.
I saw Adam Driver pop up in there at one point with the red background. Very smart.
Yes.
And Gwendolyn Christie I saw popped up as well.
So that happened. And then I know I asked you before the show, but you don't watch epic rap battles of history ever, right?
I don't.
Okay. Sometimes they're really funny. I would say pick and choose based on who it is that's battling.
Right.
For example, there was a battle between Jim Henson and Stan Lee.
Oh, wow.
And it was great because the two of them just – so that for those of you not familiar, Epic Rap Battles of History is it's comedic, like musical sketch where they have two historical characters that go back and forth.
Right.
Like rap battle style.
Right. Weird Al took part in one of these at one point, didn't he?
I think he did. A lot of people have done these. I know like Sarah Michelle Gellar, I think, did one, and a lot of people have done them. But the Stan Lee and Jim Henson one, eventually at the end of the battle, they're trying to decide who wins, and then just Mickey Mouse comes in and just mic drops both of them.
Oh my God.
It's fantastic. So today I happened to see one that was Deadpool versus Boba Fett.
Ah, I have seen that posted. Yes.
And that was, it was pretty funny. I'm not gonna lie. It was pretty entertaining. I would rank that one up there as one of the pretty good ones.
Yeah, check it out.
So yeah, Star Wars, everything. We're choking on Star Wars.
Yeah. There's a lot of Star Wars happening. And I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with all of those things. Well, all right. Well, since we're talking about random Star Wars things, we have to talk about Yul Vader.
Oh my God! When I saw that today, it's sealed. Like our Christmas morning at my house, we either turn on the Yule Log, which whatever channel it's on, or we actually have a DVD with an HD fireplace,
right?
Because
why not?
So that usually will go on. And the HD fireplace one actually has a Christmas themed one that has like the fireplace with all the stockings all over it. And it plays Christmas music while the fireplace burns into your plasma screen, if that's what you have. So it's already been established, and I posted that link on Facebook today, and my lovely wife, replied almost immediately with no. And, I of course couldn't resist, replying with a photo of the Emperor and saying, oh, this will be quite operational on our Christmas morning. So, and I can stream it, right? So we have the Apple TV. So I can stream it right from the YouTube and have Darth Vader Yule Log on Christmas morning.
And it's a five-hour.
5 hours of burning Vader. It's amazing.
I am lucky in that I have two monitors at work.
I'm here.
Hello,
I'm
Sarah.
Here. I'm here. I made it.
I am lucky. Big Kev joining us in the studio. I am lucky in that I have two monitors at work.
Uh-huh.
Monitor. I use one of them to do my primary work, and I use the other one for like secondary searches and stuff like that. And I was really tempted to just put Yul Vader on all afternoon.
I triple dog dare you.
On the monitor that faces out so that anybody walking by my office could just see his burning corpse for 5 hours.
Tell me you've seen this, Kev. We're talking about the Yul Vader.
Yes, I have seen it.
So, yeah. So other random Star Wars things. Are there any other random Star Wars-y things? We talked briefly about Boba Fett versus Deadpool, that epic rap battle of history.
Have you seen the Jimmy Fallon
acapella.
That was hysterical. That was awesome.
Yeah.
The Jimmy Fallon thing was awesome. I don't know what the other thing was. The Jimmy Fallon thing was awesome.
Now I got to check this out.
Well, is this part of product today?
No, that was a Christmas present for me. And from
who is that nice person?
That was from one E-Rock.
Wow.
Gave that to me. So he is staring at his grandfather across the room there behind the monitor.
Look at that.
What do you mean his grandfather? Are you spoiling something, sir?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Early speculation.
Spoilculation.
I did see one review.
I know everything.
I did see one review late last night that said everything you think you know, you don't know.
That is partially true. So, however, as far as I know, still 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Is that right?
It was in 97 the last
time. Oh, it dipped 3 points.
Yeah. Well, because there's the haters.
There's always one.
There's that dumb woman at Fox News that, you know, thinks it's probably too racist. Did you see that
Salon
clip?
Apparently didn't like it either.
Yeah.
Salon.com.
Did you see the woman at Fox? Fox has been bashing Star Wars, by the way, for like the last 3 months, in case you haven't seen it. They randomly, on random shows, they talk about like the fandom and they don't get it and they don't understand the hype and blah, 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 blah. And then yesterday, one of their reporters, who's about as useful as a fucking cock-flavored lollipop.
But why don't they? It's about rebels standing up against a tyrannical government. You think they'd love this shit?
Oh, no. Wait for this angle.
Oh, boy.
You're going to like it. So, you know, the toughest guy in the movie who's voiced by a prominent black actor, when he's a bad guy. But when he's, but when he goes through his conversion to becoming a good guy, then he becomes a white guy. So it's racist.
Oh, that's isn't that like the oldest argument ever? Isn't that like the chasing Amy argument?
But she was serious about it. I don't think she knows that Vader was Luke's father.
She doesn't know.
I'm just saying. Anyway,
nothing.
Let's move forward.
Unbelievable.
Let's move forward.
Unbelievable.
Let's get into some trailers, because trailers really were the bulk of everything this week.
An incredible amount of trailers this week.
I want to play with that. That's awesome. He looks so much better. I mean, did you talk about it already?
We haven't, no.
It's the 2.5-ish foot.
It's the 18-inch.
Yeah, Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren, yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really great.
Here's the problem now.
Uh-oh.
Originally, I only wanted Vader. I had Vader. He was great.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I think Vader came from E-Rock as well. and I was like, I only need Vader. That's it. And now I have Kylo Ren. And so the first thing I did yesterday was like, yo, I need that 18-inch Darth Maul.
Yeah, I knew it.
He's done it.
Fuck. Yeah, he's pretty cool. He's pretty badass.
He is really E-Rock well gave done. Completionism for Christmas.
Yeah, thanks,
real
E-Rock.
Nice.
He's pretty awesome. I mean, he doesn't do much. He's got a couple points of articulation.
He looks great.
But it's a great display.
They did a nice job.
Yeah, it's an awesome display piece. Trailers. Let's talk about some trailers.
Yep.
Let's talk about the good trailers and the bad trailers.
Oh, boy.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got 6 trailers.
Okay.
I'll go right down the list.
Let's do them in no particular order so that we can decide whether they're good or bad as a group.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to go through them how I have them listed on my piece of paper.
Is
that okay?
That sounds good.
TMNT2. The TMNT2 trailer.
Uh-huh. I've seen it. Have you, Ken?
I have seen it, yes.
Okay.
So here's my opinion. Actually was somewhat excited by the trailer. Not gonna lie. I know what I'm getting into, but seeing Bebop and Rocksteady actually appear on the screen and actually look the way they did in the early 90s in that cartoon sold me. Casey Jones, I think, looks okay, although I wish they didn't redesign the mask, but it's not bad. And I am convinced that they redesigned the turtles. I am convinced that they dumbed down some of those features that so many people had complaints with the first go round. So there you go.
I can't imagine the sequel being a redemption for the first one.
Well, so the important thing about the second one is that we actually get real Shredder in the second one. And again, Bebop and Rocksteady. That's the selling point for me. I'm not going to lie.
And for me as an outsider, I was never a TMNT kind of guy.
Right.
It just escaped me for no particular reason. But as an outsider looking at that, the first trailer for the first film, I was like, I have zero interest in that. That looks
like garbage.
Nothing like what I remember.
Awful.
The friends of mine that were into it, I'm like, I have no interest. Seeing the second one and knowing what limited stuff I know about Turtles from my childhood friend who was into it at the time, and the moment Bebop and Rocksteady showed up, I'm like, you know what? This is going to make some people happy.
Yeah.
Because they, you're right. They are as I remember them to be, like very, very faithfully adapted for this film.
I mean,
that all said, I still don't care.
I mean, Bebop has the mohawk and the bad, like slit punk rock sunglasses from the '80s. I mean, it's the characterization is spot on. So TMNT2 came out. All right, let's move forward.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So what do we decide that was an okay trailer then?
For me personally, it was okay.
Okay.
Not my favorite trailer out of the ones that came out this week, but I was okay with it. Certainly, I'm going to go on a limb. Better than the next trailer.
Oh, what's the next
on
one?
On my list. Age of Apocalypse.
Awful.
I mean, terrible, right?
Pretty bad, yeah.
I mean...
Now, I don't know. Well, you have to... Let's take for a moment. Let's put Apocalypse, the character, aside for a second. Let's talk about everybody else.
Okay.
Like the Four Horsemen, if I understand the way that the trailer is cut, is at least two of them are Angel and Storm.
But you think Storm?
That's really? The way it looks like it's cut, because he always has four individuals and Storm is one of those that they cut to.
Okay.
And we clearly see Angel
with
the wings.
With the wings, yeah.
So I am assuming, perhaps incorrectly, that may be there too of the Horsemen, so that's weird.
I mean, Angel's not weird. That right? works, but Storm is weird.
And I'm a little disturbed by the fact that the professor still has a full head of hair in the 80s.
Well.
Now, I know, but at the end of the trailer, he's completely bald.
And we don't know where that takes place in the movie
because
of the magic of editing.
No, I get that. But it still was bothering me that it's not that basically that McAvoy doesn't look any older in any way.
Right.
Than he looked in
just bald.
In the forget the bald shot. Oh, okay. Just the regular, like when he's consoling Jean at the beginning.
Yeah.
He looks exactly like he looked in Days of Future Past. And nearly exactly the way he looked in First Class. And we're talking about a 30-year span.
He telepathically applies oil of Olay every day.
Yeah, is that what he does? Yeah. Well, they should telepathically apply some age makeup because it's been and the same thing with Jennifer Lawrence. She looks exactly the same. It's 60s, wow. 70s, and 80s.
Jennifer Lawrence is easily explainable.
No, I get that. All right. I'll give you that one. Well,
Magneto, Fassbender had no change either.
Yeah, you know. So I totally agree. I was about to say Beast. Same thing. Yeah. The guy looks exactly the same. They've done no age work on them at all. But now this is supposed to be the 80s
versus the 70s for the first film.
Versus the 60s for the first film.
Was it the 60s?
The 60s, yep. My friend. Yeah, it was the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right.
It was like 63, man. It was, or whatever it was. But the point is that. It was definitely the 70s in the second one because Nixon was president. So it was like the early 70s.
Even. Right.
So, I mean, like, let's assume this is a 10-year gap. This is now at least 20 years since the first movie. And at least three of those characters, with Jennifer Lawrence aside, the three characters we just named, McAvoy, Fassbender, and whoever the kid is playing Beast.
Right. No aging.
No aging.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They don't look aged at all.
Yeah.
Let's also consider the fact that I'm sorry, Mystique is fighting with them now at this point?
That's obviously some liberties taken with the story. I'm okay with that. I mean, if it works within the context of the story that they're weaving, that doesn't bother me.
I want to see how that context works out because I just find it very interesting. I guess we can safely assume, based on this movie, that the continuity of X-Men and X-Men... Two
and
X-3
are done,
and Origins Wolverine.
Oh, that's all.
And at least half of the Wolverine movie.
Yeah,
at least half of the Wolverine movie has to be gone, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would think. Yeah.
Okay. I still think our speculation about Wolverine being a horseman, I think that's a That would have been a better plot than the one that they're providing.
I guess we'll see. Well, let's talk about Apocalypse now.
Yeah, okay.
I still think he looks like a Power Ranger character.
He does. In fact, somebody said to me that, oh, he looks just like so-and-so. And I'm like, yeah, actually, I think he looks like a Power Rangers villain. And the person goes, that's who I meant. That's what I said. Because I didn't know the fucking name of the Power Rangers villain.
Yeah.
And so he goes, that's who I meant. And I'm like,
Yeah, so we saw that early shot and everybody was like, oh my God, he looks atrocious. And then we saw that cover of EW and everybody was like, oh my God, he looks great. Maybe this is it. But then in the movie and the weird stretching thing, when he gets all big in the movie,
yep.
It looks kind of awkward.
Yep. It's weird.
So for me, that's a big old.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. I'm sad because I kind of was looking forward to that kind of rounding out of the third film because I really did like the first two.
Right. Yeah, I hear you.
So, I mean, who knows? Maybe.
Who knows, right? All right. The next one is another one that I also thumbs down personally. Fast and Furious in Space. Star Trek Beyond.
Garbage. Absolute garbage.
You can't like that one, yeah?
I'm in a minority because yeah. I have enjoyed what J.J. Abrams has done with Star Trek. I like the first two films.
I like the first two as well. Don't get me wrong. I actually like the second. I know you didn't like the second one.
You know, the third one works out for me too.
It just doesn't feel like Star Trek to me anymore. Like, I loved the first one. And I should say this. I loved the first one.
Yep.
Not only did I love the first one, I loved the promise of the first one. The promise that, okay, we have figured out a way to really creatively reboot this series and then to proceed along with the characters that we know and love. Yeah, they look a little different, but it's basically that's what it is. And then they killed it in the second movie by going right to Khan, and now it's Fast and Furious in space. I totally agree with you.
I'm going to disagree with you on the second one. I actually still thought the second one picked up and ran with what they had set up in the first one, and I still liked it. It still felt really good to me.
Yeah.
But something, maybe it's just the trailer, but like the, was it Rage Against the, oh, it was the Beastie Boys. Like the music, I don't know, something about it.
That's a callback to his childhood, yeah. The whole thing with the driving the car off the clip and all that.
It felt like Kirk was Vin Diesel. Like, that's all I could think while watching that trailer.
Now, you know, the guy directed this, did the last Fast and Furious movie.
That's why I made that comparison. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Look, maybe I'll definitely see it because I really like the first two.
I'm completely open-minded on it, and that's. But that, I mean, bear in mind, this is also my general approach across the board. Anyway, is to not look at trailers and immediately say no.
Well, let me say this then. Let me interject really quickly here. I am of the same approach for the most part, right? Unless something looks so Fantastic Four. I normally give it
nice use of the Fantastic Four.
It's a verb now. Or an adjective. I give it
tranked.
I give it a lot of leeway when it comes to trailers. Mm-hmm. Like even Age of Apocalypse, I'm not saying I'm not going to see it. I'm not even saying it's going to be great. Yeah. I'm just saying the trailer as a standalone representation of what the film is going to be just didn't do it for me.
Right.
And the same. And look, the next Trek trailer can come out and can be fantastic, and it'll rewrite what my thoughts are after the first trailer. Right. I'm just saying after the first trailer, feeling a little
not there yet.
Yeah.
I have more faith only because, I mean, the idea is to get as much action-y bits and get exciting shit out there to get the general audience excited. We're a different breed because we're geeks. We live these things and breathe these things. So, of course, we'll be looking for more specific details. But that's the kind of trailer that brings on board more people. Hey, look at this exciting shit. And I get it. It's not the heart of Star Trek that everybody grew up with, whatever. But this is what it is, so deal with it or stay home. But just stay home.
That's funny because for me personally, the reason I like the J.J. Abrams movies is because they're not the heart of Star Trek that everybody grew up with. Because I was never a big Trek fan. We talked about it on the show for 100 years.
And I haven't yet got you to sit down and watch the original series.
Watched all of Series 1.
Oh, okay.
But I only made it like an episode into Series 2.
Gotcha.
Of the three original series. I don't know. I'll give it a go still. The
writing
weird.
Team behind it gives me faith. I mean, Simon Pegg's got his pen on this thing.
No doubt. And I love Simon Pegg. Yeah, so
I have a little faith going in.
Sure.
There's a lot of people that several people on my feed that immediately were shitting so hard all over this thing. And I'm like, fine, stay the fuck home.
Of course.
Let's call it not so great a trailer. But the movie, that doesn't mean the movie doesn't have potential.
I see potential in the movie within the trailer.
Okay.
The trailer itself is,
right.
I can see where that would turn off a diehard Star Trek fan, certainly. Right. But, yeah.
All right. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Fabulous trailer.
See, now for me, that trailer hit right in the middle. Like, it wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It was kind of just like, I'm really excited to return to the world that she set up in the previous films.
Right.
I'm interested in pursuing the characters that she's going to present for us in that film. But the trailer to me just was kind of like, meh, but not a bad meh. Just it's coming and I'm excited. Like,
right.
That's kind of where it is.
I don't care about Harry Potter anymore.
It's not Harry Potter.
I know. But I'm just kind of over it. I'm over that world and the universe and the. I
still think she created a really interesting kind of. I think she created a really interesting universe. What I liked about it,
she's got a great mythos and a great universe, but I just don't care anymore.
I'm over it. What I liked about it was, and as a fantasy fan, Tolkien, Robert Jordan, Eddings, all that stuff. I liked that she created a world within a world, like. Something about that appealed to me. Like, I felt like I got a bit of high fantasy, but in the back of my mind, I was like, yeah, but London is right there.
Yeah.
Like regular London is just train right away, literally. Like, something about that world within a world, that's the appeal for me.
It gives an interesting perspective on our world.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So
I'm still interested in the universe that she created. Do I want to see another movie that actually involves Harry? Honestly, probably not. But I would, I'm interested in this.
After
I would
Frankenstein, Daniel know. Radcliffe would love to see a movie involving Harry.
Yikes.
I would like to see another movie about Harry et al. In like 20 years.
Yeah, maybe. Kids of Harry.
Yeah, like Man. That, that kind of thing. You know, like that would be interesting.
Sure.
But yeah, I like that. I thought it looked good. I like the universe that it takes place in. So I'm looking forward to it.
Harry and Ron come back, steal the Millennium Falcon. Go on a journey together.
Harry. No. Harry.
Harry.
We're home.
I, like I just pulled a Kanye there, too. Yeah. PK doesn't care about wizard people.
That's racist. Kubo and the Two Strings.
Muggle lover.
Oh, God.
Whoa.
Now. What? Now. Whoa, we're, oh, that's,
whoa. Muggle lover?
You know, after years.
Mudblood.
Whoa, hey,
oh,
hey.
Hey, now.
Hey, listen up.
You are sitting across from an actual wizard, but
what was the...
I'll bend your spoon, motherfucker.
What was it? What was the one?
Kubo.
There is no spoon.
Kubo and the Two Strings. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't see the trailer, though. I didn't see that trailer yet.
It
but
looked... it looks really good.
It does look really... I've heard it looks really interesting, but I haven't had a chance to
I'm
see
not...
It.
So the production house that's putting it out is Laika? Laika? L-A-I-K-A? Isn't that the same way that Space Dog?
Laika.
The Russian space song was spelt the same.
Mecha Licha High.
But I don't know. The trailer just looked really good as like an independent sort of animated film. I was definitely intrigued by it.
I have no idea what this even is. Is this, it sounds almost like a Miyazaki thing.
I sent you the trailer.
It kind of.
Yeah,
well,
I know, but
yeah, I know. Did this you thing sent me the trailer too. So the couldn't get to it today.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of in a weird vein as a Miyazaki thing. I can okay. see that comparison, but it's different than a Miyazaki film. I don't think it's quite as deep as a Miyazaki. Miyazaki is like a fucking onion.
Especially the last layers. Two.
They stank?
up on Poppy Hill and whatever that last one was that I can't remember. They were deep.
They were
deep. Mm-hmm. Not like Grave of the Fireflies deep, but deep.
Mm. All right, and then the last trailer I have, Independence Day 2. Mm.
Now, when you go into a pitch meeting for an Independence Day sequel and you open with, okay, we don't have Will Smith, everyone should get up from the table and leave.
Well, here's – I have a theory about that. And now this isn't spoiling a thing because it's all over the place on this viral site. They have the viral site tied to it with – it was War of
whatever,
97
yeah.
or whatever.com or something like that. Have you seen the explanation as to what happened with Captain Hiller?
No.
Do it. Just say
I
it.
Just say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just say it.
My feeling is I think Roland Emmerich and Will Smith had whatever meeting where they were discussing bringing Will Smith aboard had to go really fucking bitter. Hard. This viral site has a video that basically like half-ass, you know, like news video explains that Hiller was killed in like a test pilot accident when they were testing out a new hybrid technology between alien and Earth technology on a plane, and plane blew up and whatever, and Hiller's dead.
He got the quick
run off. It was a total throwaway. Killed him off with barely a blink. Fuck you, Will Smith, for not being in my movie. I'm going to make it anyway. Fuck you, Will Smith. And then he just flicked him off like a little flea. And that was the explanation as to why Hiller won't be in this film. But we'll see his wife.
If you say, at least they have Goldblum, I will come across this mic and choke you.
No, this is going to be a joke just for you. I was going to say it's as though Will Smith touchdown spiked a direwolf cub.
Wow. Wow, nice callback to like 30 years ago.
Yeah. Honestly, though, seriously, I actually saw that trailer and I was like, I'm kind of excited for this. I'm kind of ready to revisit that world and those aliens and those concepts. I was down with it.
I will see it, and I'll be kind of excited to see it, you know, I guess when it comes to Blu-ray or whatever.
I was more excited about the Independence Day trailer than I was Age of Apocalypse.
I will give
not
you that.
Not gonna lie.
I was more intrigued than Apocalypse.
Whatever gives Goldblum work where he's not that pseudo Steve Jobs / Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson apartments.com guy.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
All I'm looking forward to is more slowed down, drunk Jeff Goldblum footage. And it's going to be epic from whatever he's got to say. I mean, just the line he has in the trailer alone, I can't wait for that to be like, oh, the other one was bigger. I love drunk Jeff Goldblum.
All right.
Wait, hold on. Now, is that all the trailers that you have?
Yeah.
Did I absolutely. You missed probably the best trailer of the week.
Which was what?
Tarzan.
Oh, I didn't see the Tarzan trailer.
The Tarzan trailer was amazing.
Is that the one with the scratch card?
Yes.
Is this Disney that's doing this or no? Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Right? Okay.
No, but it's Skarsgård Jr. Yeah. Not Skarsgård the senior, because that would be weird. But Junior Skarsgård from the vampire True Blood.
Alexander.
Yeah,
not Stellan.
Right.
Some dude
as,
looks good
as Tarzan.
Shape.
I think it's. I'm not sure if it's Margot Robbie as Jane. It kind of looks like her, but I didn't. Mm. But who I did see in the movie is, and where does he get time in his schedule? Is Samuel L. Jackson in the movie?
He's in everything.
I thought you were going to say Christopher Lambert for a second.
No, no, because that would have been awesome. But that's this movie. It is a remake, I think, of that movie.
Really?
Yeah. The time period, I think, is the same. I mean, I think a lot of it is pretty much the same, at least from what I saw in the trailer. But the trailer was fantastic.
I got to go back and watch that
one. Oh,
that's
man.
The one I
that was week. Literally the best trailer that I – out of all the ones that you saw, I don't think any of them touched the reaction and the surprised happiness that I got from Tarzan.
Does the trailer allude to, or have they updated in some way his ever popular, ever famous operatic call to the wild?
There is a call. Yeah, it's not that. Oh, you know, it's not that. I think it's just like, ah, or something like that.
Yeah,
I know you hear it.
Okay,
very early in the trailer. And it really does look good, and I think the period is correct. I think they're maintaining as much of the Edgar Rice Burroughs-ness of it. At least that's what I took away from the trailer.
Nice.
Yeah, and talk about the right guy for the right role. Holy crap!
All right. I got to check that one out. I got to add that to my list. Yeah. And you guys got to check out the other one.
Yes.
Kubo and the Two Strings.
Kubo and the Two
Strings. I think you may enjoy it. With that, I think we will take a break.
What? But I just got here.
No, you didn't. You got here like 25 minutes ago already.
Wow. It's just amazing how much content we cover in 25 minutes.
Astounding.
Episode 396 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. And we're calling this one Forcemas Eve.
Really?
Yep.
That's what you guys come up with when I'm a little late? Forcemas Eve?
What would you have come up with?
I don't even. I'm so sickened I can't even think.
The Force Awakened.
The Force has awoken.
All right. Let's take our break.
That's a good idea.
Build the Millennium Falcon. A one-to-one replica of the original Empire Strikes Back movie prop. Working lights and stunning interior detail, complete with a moving ramp. Build the Millennium Falcon step by step with your comprehensive build guide, die-cast metal, and highly detailed resin parts. Call now or go online to buildmillenniumfalcon.com and get started today.
Yes, buildmillenniumfalcon.com. OG PK, our boxes are piling up. For that particular project.
I know.
I'm very excited.
When are we going to do something with it?
Well, we got to find time and put it together and stuff.
All right.
Take time from what I understand. But PK, there's a number that they can call in order to get involved with what I consider one of the best Star Wars collectibles ever.
Indeed. They can call 877-544-6779.
Yep. There it is. So check that out. Become part of it. This is the collectible that you want to have. You've seen collectibles like this for thousands of dollars, and you've always wanted one. Well, now you can have it, and you can have the fun of building it yourself as well. So there you go.
Awesome. We got a couple of voicemails between last week and this week.
We did, but we're only going to play one.
We're only going to play one because it's a really good one.
Amazing. One of the best voicemails we've had in a while.
And very – well, I mean – well, you know what? Just listen to it, and we'll be back in a moment.
Studio tonight. Hello, Geek Stuff, and whoever might be in the studio tonight. Chris here, I guess the Coffee Cup robot online or something. Anyways, last couple of weeks has been talk about collectibles and what is sold and what is kept, and I just wanted to know what do you guys, what decides what stays? You know, it's an interesting one. Like, I have maybe one or two collectibles myself, but I have friends that have huge collections, and all of a sudden one day they just turn around and sell the whole lot and keep a couple things. And it's interesting to hear, you know, why to those couple things. It's not always necessarily because it's the greatest piece or it's the most expensive or whatever. That's it. Just wanted to know, what it is that decides that something stays in your collection when you do one of these big sell-off situations. And that's about it. And I really wish you guys a great holiday and Happy New Year. And just a huge thank you for a brilliant last year of programming. And it's just really something I really enjoy hearing every week, even though sometimes it's a bit of a catch-up. But thank you so much, and have great holidays. Bye.
All right. First of all, I love that guy.
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
If you're on the Instagram, give him a follow. Coffee Cup Robot is his Instagram.
Oh, is that who that is?
Yeah. So this is the guy. If you've seen us at conventions or you've just checked out the website and stuff, this is the guy who did the he did one of our postcard designs.
He did.
What became a postcard design. He did it on his own and it became a postcard. It's Deadpool sitting inside the headphones with the phone playing the show in the background. He did and he's done a bunch of other edits for us and images for us in the past. And he's one of the best toy photographers on Instagram.
Coffee Cup Robot.
For his content. I love following his account. It's really fun.
I just literally follow him right now.
Yeah. So he's an aces dude, and he's been a fan for a while. And his call is obviously spurred by the conversations that we've been having about you selling your collection.
Correct.
And it's a good call, and it's not something we really touched on, I don't think, over the last couple of weeks. So I think the best way to handle it is maybe go around the room and talk about when you do a sell-off, what do you decide to keep, and how do you make that decision?
There's three different potential answers in all this, because this is an interesting question.
There's definitely three different answers, because I know all three of us.
So why don't you start then, Kev?
Well, so for me, I just decided that I was ready to stop collecting everything.
Right.
And to do what we refer to as focuses or concentrations.
Sure.
So for me, the things that I'm still doing are, I'm still doing, for Star Wars, it's Sideshow 12-inch. Not all of it, though. It's mostly Imperial stuff at this point. Still, and like really higher end collectibles. So it doesn't have to be just 12 inch. It could also be quarter scale, you know, things like that. And other than that, my focuses are still Admiral Akbar,
right?
The Cantina Band and Astromech Droids. So those are my concentrations. Those are my focuses, whatever word that you apply to those things. I still collect everything that's the Rocketeer. I still collect everything that's Escape from New York. I think that's pretty much it. Some Jaws things too, but I don't go crazy for Jaws stuff, but still some of them. But then everything else I've pretty much kind of let go pretty much at this point.
You want to go next?
Sure, I can go next. I think the large part of the question was how do you decide what stays and what goes? I think the best explanation of that is quite simply passions and focuses, foci, change as you go along. And, you know, when I first started really diving into collecting the higher end stuff, when I had the income coming in to collect the higher end stuff, I went berserk on Sideshow. And premium format statues, and I went nuts over the Lord of the Rings ones, and I went nuts over Star Wars ones I get my hands on, Star Wars 12-inch and all that. And then you amass this whole collection of stuff, and somewhere along the line the focus shifts. You know, what is this stuff doing for me? Am I really enjoying these things? Do I have room for them?
Right.
Are they sitting in a box somewhere just not even being displayed because I have no place to put them? So then you start to whittle it down. And I realized for me, my focuses became my lifelong collection, which is – but my collection, my big collection is my magic shit.
Sure.
And the stuff that has been my – what my friend calls my 10,000 hours. of reaching, you know, I don't want to say expert levels of magic, but you know, reaching good competence in magic. I've had that collection and have built that collection over the past 25 plus years.
What color decks do you use?
It depends. Usually red bicycles. That's my main go-to. That's just neither here nor there. But so that became my passion.
You didn't get that joke.
I didn't get that joke either.
Oh, come on. Seriously, he's in magic? He's into magic? What deck does he use?
Oh, God.
Get the fuck out of here. Nah. You guys have got to be kidding me.
Oh, that magic.
No, I know. Ken is talking about the art of illusion.
Sleight of hand and prestidigitation.
PK is an illusionist.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you know, for me, I realized, well, you know, that's my focus. And you know, what do I really want to focus on the pretty geek stuff? And then it became Obi-Wan Kenobi and Tron stuff is like all I'm really interested in and everything else. Goodbye. Goodbye. See you later. And, you know, we'll make the room in the house, but also get the money for it as well to go towards more magic shit.
Right. Do you still have that? Do you still have the Sam Flynn on the bike? Wasn't that part of your collection at one point?
It was, and it actually went back. It got, I returned that.
After breaking
it.
How many times?
Well, what happened was the Sam Flynn, I go to turn it on at one point and the switch, bloop, like.
Oh, it poked
like,
through?
Poked right through. And, oh. I barely touched the thing in weeks, maybe even a month or more. And I go to turn it on to showed to somebody and the switch on his back just poked right through and into him. I said, well,
no.
What the fuck? And then reached out to Sideshow who distributed it and said, well, this is the deal. What can I do? And they're like, you know, we'll send us the piece back or whatever. And I sent him back the Flynn piece and then got back the completely incorrect shit to complete the whole thing. I said, you know what? Take this whole fucking thing back. No thanks.
That's too bad.
I do still have the dude though from that same line.
Oh yeah,
the Hot Toys Kevin Flynn is fantastic.
Yes, yes.
I won't part with that. So yeah, I think it's your passions change, and then you know the decision to decide to come to what's going to go and what's going to stay is always amusing because from my perspective, from a magic perspective, I'll go through that stuff, and I have a huge box sitting in the little magic room. And this huge box loaded with stuff. I went through everything one day. Okay, I don't need that book anymore. I don't do this trick anymore. I don't need that deck. I don't need this set. I don't need that coin. I don't need this. I don't need that. And this thing is loaded with stuff that I haven't had the nerve to sell yet because I open up that box to do the eBay listing and go, well, but this, I got this from the guy that taught me all this stuff, and he's dead now.
Yeah, that emotional connection, that's a tough one to break.
You realize it's very easy to put all the things aside to get rid of, but when the chips are down and it's time to start listing stuff, that's when you start looking at it with a fresh eye and going, oh, but... So it's a challenge. It's a challenge to decide what stays and what goes, and often an arduous, long process to get through it all. That's
OG
my take.
Yeah, the emotional connection is really hard. I mean, I've actually gotten to the point where I've actually had stuff boxed and with me at Geek Flea, and as I'm getting ready to put it out on the table, I'm like, I'm gonna just put this back in that Tupperware. You know, that, and then like, you know, the next Geek Flea, it's still there, and I'm like,
I've done that with a couple of pieces from your collection.
Yeah, exactly.
You gonna sell that? Give me that.
Yeah, exactly. It happens. No doubt. So I'm probably the worst of the bunch, out of the group because
what do you mean?
I've let myself slip. It's in my brain. I'm still very focused, but I've let myself slip with some things. So by far the biggest collection is and will always be the Green Arrow collection.
Right.
I mean, that collection I'm on eBay every single day. Looking for pieces in that collection. By the way, Monogram, the company that puts out the little figural keychains.
Yeah.
There's a new Green Arrow and the Black Canary in the new set, and they're blind box, and they're not on eBay. So if you get them and you don't want them, let me know. I'm willing to take them off your hands. Just saying.
Noted.
And they're fucking cardboard in the black bag, so you can't even feel it because I was trying to find the bow. But anyway, so the Green Arrow collection is the biggest collection, right? I mean, in that collection, every couple of months, I need a new shelf. I need to reorganize.
Something got
to
go.
And nothing ever leaves that collection. I've never, ever gotten rid of anything from that collection.
That's true.
I even have duplicates in that collection. And I'm just like, well, maybe if it breaks one day, I know at least I have a duplicate.
Right.
So the Green Hour collection is the strongest one. I'd say the second biggest collection is focused in the company that produced them. And that's the Muppets collection. It's all Palisades related.
That's true.
And it's
you think that's the second biggest? Oh yeah, maybe.
Maybe it only because this. I think the scope of that one is a little bit deeper than anything else.
If you just went vinyl as a collection rather than breaking it up,
right? If I went with platform, or right. if I went with material, that'd be different. And then I have Spider-Man and Nightcrawler. Spider-Man actually, honestly, Spider-Man probably predates my Arrow collection.
Yes,
but is not as big as my Arrow collection,
or because that would be impossible.
It would be impossible. I would go mad and broke. And so Spider-Man is focused. The difference with Spider-Man is I have gotten rid of pieces from that collection.
Absolutely,
and
I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I got rid of all of the Adam Hughes, Black Cat, Mary Jane. Yeah, well, because the Campbell ones came out, and I had to pick for logistic reasons and for financial reasons, and mm-hmm. so I really wanted the Campbell ones, and so I have MJ and Gwen and Black Cat on the way.
And Nightcrawler also not a lot of stuff out there, so that's kind of easy.
That's another collection that's probably not complete, but is much further, but is not bad. I mean, I'm missing a couple of key pieces. I would think like the 1/1 scale bust that Sideshow put out is probably the biggest piece, like size wise, the biggest piece that I'm missing.
Not Sideshow. Dynamic Forces.
Oh, Dynamic Forces. Yeah. Sorry. And then I'm missing a handful of smaller figures from that one. And then from there, it gets sporadic. Like, I have a pretty good Firefly collection, which I thought was done until the Funko pieces.
Right.
But in all honesty, that collection doesn't grow unless Funko puts out more legacy figures.
Did you have like, the old ones as well?
I don't. I don't have the old ones.
Oh.
You had to go and mention it.
I just got rid of it.
Because the way your breakdown was going, I was expecting you not to mention Firefly. I was going to say, you know what? What I'm hearing is you don't care about these pieces that right behind me on the shelf there.
No.
And actually, happily rid you of the burden.
I really hope that they move forward with the rest of the crew. It would be nice to finally have one collection that has the rest of the crew. Okay. And we're missing some important members. River is not in there.
No River, I mean, no Book.
At minimum, no River Simon. Is not in there. And Nara would be the second big one. And then Book and Simon are really kind of the two that always get the shaft, so to speak. But River should never, ever get downplayed. So
Pretty sure Simon's getting the shaft.
Well, you never know.
Pretty sure. You do have a sizable Star Wars collection, we should say, but it's extraordinarily focused.
Well, I've let myself go with Star Wars, and I'm not happy about it. And I think some of it's going to go. Nothing Vader, nothing Maul.
Right.
Those two are steadfast.
So are you going to expand into Kylo Ren now?
Kylo is growing. We'll see.
Okay.
You could say he's awakened in your collection.
I really like the design. I have the 6-inch. I have the 3 3/4.
I have the 18.
I have the 18-inch. I'll probably get at minimum, I'll get the Infinity piece soon too. I just got the Maul Infinity piece finally is up there on the shelf. And I have the Pop also.
Pop.
But
you also just have a random collection of 6-inch.
Yeah, so I really wanted 6-inch when it first came out. My intent was to collect them. And then it became so hard to get them that I was like, no, fuck this noise. I'm not collecting all of them.
Right.
So now I'm at the point where what do I keep and what do I get rid of? Honestly, I think...
Keep the Leia.
No, I think everything is going. I think
really?
I think Luke and R2 are staying because they're too iconic not to, and R2 qualifies.
The Pilot Luke?
Pilot Luke, X-Wing Luke. And I don't have any of the other Lukes, and I have no intention of getting them, to be quite honest with you. And I think that I will keep Han and Chewie, but Leia, Greedo, Yoda, Jabba, and a bunch of the troopers I think are going to go.
Are you going to get rid of Luke and Han Trooper?
No, because Luke and Han Trooper, that's a weird one for me. That's one of those ones where I've always kind of had like a weird attachment to them.
They look nice with Chewbacca there.
Yeah, that's a weird one for me. Like I even have like mini busts of those two.
Right. And are you going to keep Phasma?
I think I'm going to keep Phasma.
Right.
We'll see. Phasma, I'm on the fence. I didn't want to pass up the opportunity to get the 6-inch Phasma in case I decide I want to go Phasma, but that might end up being the only Phasma representation that I have.
Right.
And then I have a bunch of like random vinyl stuff. The Funko has really fucked me up because I don't want to collect Funko. Now, a lot of the stuff you see in this office actually is not mine. A lot of it is my wife's.
I know.
You know, she's almost as bad as I am.
I know.
The problem with Funko.
The problem with Funko is, I mean, you got to jump on a character when you see him because, I mean, they just don't
and
really make.
Gone.
Yeah. They don't really make a lot of representations of really anything in geek culture.
Haha.
So,
no,
yeah.
Actually,
oh, I get
actually,
it.
The funny part about Funko is one of the reasons I have Funko stuff. Price.
That expo. Oh,
price.
Boy.
Price is a big reason for me.
They're dirt
they're
cheap.
Is a big thing. And honestly, like, for example, Orphan Black, I may never get any other Orphan Black figures ever. How do I not? But I'm a huge fan of that show.
I get it.
So how do I not get the representations from Orphan Black? Like, that's a weird one for me.
PK, do you remember?
It's very easy because I still give you shit because you separated Sherlock from his lifeblood. His John Watson does not exist together with
the
Sherlock
Watson figure.
Wow.
And I know it's just a dude in a suit, but still. I mean, you know, Sherlock and Watson are like are like Han and Chewie.
You know what I'll get, Watson? If they do Victorian Sherlock and Watson, I'll get it. I'll be honest with you, that might be the break for Watson. I just got Deerstalker Sherlock.
Yeah, I see that.
I did see that.
I had to have that because it's
funny.
It's classic and kind of funny in a way, yeah.
PK, do you remember when he was like this with Beanie Babies?
I was never like
getting those tag, what are
the
tag,
tag
protectors?
You were adamant about those.
Ah,
but you had to have the right tape to seal it.
Kind of disgusting.
And then,
Now he just transferred that into Pops.
But other than that, I mean, it's artist based. Like I'll never not get a Rich Page piece that I like.
Doc A.
Right, I'm missing some Doc A stuff right now, but Doc A is another guy, and that's just. I just really appreciate his style. Scott Tolleson, the same thing.
Yep.
I really appreciate their style. So to the average person, my collection looks really, really bad. But compared to some people I still know, it's still oddly focused.
Yep. You can move in this room
yeah.
and we can conduct this show. So, I mean, you got that going for you.
It's
for now.
It's still oddly focused
mm-hmm.
in a weird way. The turtles, that's the last one.
I think it's just focused
on a lot of things.
No, hold on. He just kind of tried to. The turtles.
Yeah.
No, it's a sizable turtle collection.
It is, but it's only the turtles.
Right.
It's only the turtles, Casey and April.
Well,
right.
Like 18 versions of them.
It's only
but,
the
yeah.
turtles, Casey and April, and 700,000 of those little
Mauser,
gray Mauser
okay.
things.
All right. I take,
avalanche on
I take,
PK.
I take part of responsibility for that.
That is, but that is for diorama purposes only.
And you know
they
what?
Came in packs of seven.
And you know
they
what?
They dioramaed all over my head. One of the first episodes
listen,
I did with you guys. Over
right. Listen, and if I saw more of them now, I would buy them for him.
Yeah.
Because I think there should – I literally think he should have 200 of them.
At last count, I have 77.
Oh, right? That would be 11 packs.
11
right?
packs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I have a lot. No doubt I have a lot.
I think the condition. next thing to go is Spider-Man.
No.
You keep the head – and you trim down that collection.
Yeah, some of that collection will go. But Spider-Man is one
now
of those.
Peter Porker.
Peter Porker will never go. But here's the thing. So listeners of the show and you guys know that I'm a big Green Arrow fan, right? But
we heard.
Well, you're rather underplaying it,
but
yes.
But Spider-Man is the one that like people sort of on the outskirts of my family think that I'm really into.
Right.
So I get random
Spider-Man
things from people, which look, I don't mind, but I probably have more Spider-Man than I would buy myself for that reason.
I mean, you can fix that. Spider-Man is very prominently displayed. So even the casual observer that just pokes their head in the room at maybe a family party
right.
is going to see that and go, oh, he likes Spider-Man shit. I'm going to get him Spider-Man shit. But being the Arrow fan that you are, that's what you should make more prominent.
Right.
So they can poke their head and go, that's a lot of Green Arrow shit. I'm going to buy him something green.
The
and
then that is
and
a
then
lot
that,
of Green Arrow shit.
Inevitably, you'll get Green Lantern right. shit because people don't know any fucking better.
Or any of the Robin Hood shit, just anything.
The problem is that it doesn't fit on these shelves. It's grown.
He likes it.
He likes
Robin Hood with the bow.
That second shelf that is partially empty right now is only empty because I haven't opened that stack of figures over there.
The overflow shelf is now overflowing.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't want to say that OG has a problem. The end.
So, yeah. Look, my Green Arrow collection was very manageable up until 4 years ago.
And then, boom.
Then the show came. Before the show, it was the best collection to have.
It was. I mean, you pick an obscure. It's kind of, you know what? And I have to say this. You're kind of an inspiration in that. And because what I thought was, well, I still want to collect something. And I know eventually I'm even going to bail on
I'm probably going to bail even on some of the higher end sideshow stuff that I have now, but I still want to collect something. I still want to, you know, it's part of my blood, right?
Sure.
So I always collect like Rocketeer stuff, but again, there's probably going to be very little of that ever coming again, and even less like Escape from New York stuff, because I literally have all of it. So right, I'm right. telling you, like the last thing I got was like
you have Kurt Russell.
Well, I have a poster sign.
Do you feed him twice a day? How does that work?
Not after night. But the, you know, the Funko Rocketeer that came right. out, and the NECA Snake Plissken. Those I can't imagine anybody else redoing those things. Sure. So I don't think we'll ever see those again. But you're inspirational in that. I did decide to continue collecting Akbar based on your. Our collection, because I'm like, here's an obscure enough yet popular enough character where they're probably going to continue. Like, I got that sushi set from right. Celebration, and I'm trying really hard to get a 1-1 bust of Akbar. It's like nearly impossible to get, but I'd really like to get one of those. And also the Cantina Band, right? Yeah, it's five guys, but they're all like they've literally done them maybe 3-4 times. Like, Sideshow did a set, Hasbro did like a set and an extra one. Like, There's enough of it to be collectible, but not too much to kind of slip into the Green Arrow hole. Unless suddenly the Cantina Band gets their own TV show.
I may have a Beanie Baby style Cantina Band member for you.
I don't have that.
I'll have to do some digging
again. I remember when that collection was 15 figures deep.
I remember,
and it was like that's a nice tight.
Yeah.
Collection.
Yeah. And you're like, if I can find an affordable Superpowers one, yeah, I'll probably get them. Right. Yeah. If I can find an affordable Mego one.
Right. And that's what it was.
It's still a tight collection, sir, just on the shelves.
Yeah. Well,
it looks pretty.
But I mean, it's the character has kind of blown up in popularity, and then the show really hurt.
Characters, we should say.
Yeah. My Green Arrow collection is not just Green Arrow. It's also right? Black Canary and Speedy. Have worked their way in there.
You collect the Arrowverse.
Yeah.
Well, of the TV show stuff, yes. But, I mean, as far as, like, Black Canary and Speedy. But I don't even know that you have all the – do you have all Arsenal stuff, too?
I have Arsenal up there.
Do you? Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I have the new 52 Arsenal.
Oh, yeah, I see him.
And there hasn't been a lot of – there hasn't been a lot of Arsenal stuff.
Did they do him?
Though I have the TV show version.
Did they do him without the?
No,
not yet.
Not yet. Okay. I don't know if they will because they retconned that with the new 52 version of the character.
Did oh they did? You're right. Oh yeah. Well, okay.
So they might never go. Go back to that.
There you go.
I don't know.
They'll do an icons of him at some point.
Yeah, and even the Red Arrow figure, which is Roy all grown up, is still two arms. It's
right.
not. You know, he doesn't become Arsenal in that world. In that so, world.
Maybe it's not Oliver in Dark Knight, but it's Roy.
Maybe. Fuck it. How about that?
Anyway. So
anyway, I think that
covers
long.
It pretty
yeah,
much.
That's long, yeah.
So that's the end of the show.
We hammered the hell out of that
phone call.
But that was awesome. That's a great question. And thank you for Christian for calling in.
He sparked the MTV Cribs of geekdom and just touring your office here.
Someone I was talking to someone recently, and they were like,
"Studio Q."
Am I to understand that you have lights for your collection? I'm like, "Yeah, all my shelves light up if I want them to."
Yes, that's true.
So, yep. Hey, look, you got to display them.
Got
to display them, and
of course,
as long as you've known me, almost as long, I've always had
something
displayed. Always,
always. Yep, that's true.
So.
What is this? The PK wrap up music of the week selection?
Yeah, I like it. It's jazzy
it
pizzazzy.
A little Jamtronica going with some Dopapod. Turn the knobs.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of another Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Don't forget, you can check us out online at bkgeekstuff.com. Of course, you can go to bkgeekstuff.amazon.com if you want to support the show that way. That would be awesome. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/bkgeekstuff. On Twitter, at geekstuffog, at bkgs, or bkgeekstuff.
Correct.
And
at krmarlow.
krmarlow. And Instagram, geekstuffog. I don't really
I think
know.
It's Big Kev's Geekstuff.
Big KevGS.
Is that what Instagram. It is?
Yeah, you made it different from the Twitter one for some reason, and you're
I didn't make it.
K. Robert Marlowe on Instagram.
Who made it?
Couldn't carry it over.
I didn't make the Instagram one. That did was all you. Yes, then you did.
Oh, okay.
The GVM line.
Yes, that's at 425-920-6050.
And you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. We are not back now until after the holidays.
Wow, this is the end of 2015. This is the end of 2015
for the show.
OG taking off for something.
Yeah, for
family
vacation for a couple week and change.
Okay.
And then New Year's is right after that. And then when we get back in 2016, episode 7 review.
And nice.
We'll
I'm
be
pretty
right
sure
on time with that.
I'm pretty sure PK has got some sacrificial goat things that are happening the next week or so with your pagan rituals. And you and your magic.
Oh, we have
your...
to give PK you.
Oh yeah, the
QXTs.
Costume contest.
Oh shit, yeah. So the thing I talked about last week, I went to QXTs and Jedi'd up. It was kind of an ego boost because I rounded the corner and immediately people that were hanging out in front were like, "Whoa, hey, we got a fucking professional here." Yeah. So I Jedi'd up and had a really great time. They, Damien over there put together a really fun event. And I got up on the stage with several other people, and I won my ESSA costume contest.
Nice.
Got a couple
nice.
free movie tickets to courtesy of QXTs. That was awesome.
To where?
Regal. Regal free passes. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, not too shabby. I can't take full credit. I shared the prize with two other excellent customers, including Boba Fett Chicken from Family Guy.
Nice!
Wow. Dude did a stellar job. And I tipped the hat and kind of bowed out to him. But like we were all came out winners, which was awesome. But bumped into our buddy Caesar from
Love
over
Caesar.
At Victorian Inc., our remarkable artist, tattoo
yes.
artist, a genius of a human being.
Nice. He just happened to be there, huh?
Here's a particular ego boost to me. He came out to see PK.
That's really great.
He's actually point blank. No, I haven't been at QXTs in a million years, and I came out to I
that's
heard
awesome.
You were going to be here. I came out to see you.
So he came out to see PK.
See?
That's really great. Does
go.
He come out to see us at anything?
He hung out at New York Comic Con with us.
Yeah, really? Oh, uh-huh. New York Comic Con? Was he at Geek Flea?
I think he might have been a boy.
Was he at that other thing?
I don't care.
I'm just saying.
I don't care because I already hit him up because I think I'm going to see him in Uh-oh. February. So.
Frozen Arrow? Frozen
no,
Arrow?
No, something much bigger.
What? What?
I'm not ready to talk about it yet.
What? But it's not another arrow?
No,
we talked about the Frozen Arrow.
I save the arrows for like his special event days.
Oh, that's true.
Like that. Yeah.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah,
so it's
we'll
a big
see.
Piece.
It is a bigger piece, I think.
Where's so it going?
I think
on your
my,
butt?
On my leg. On my other leg.
Oh.
Yeah.
So anyway,
nice. we'll talk about that maybe as February rolls around. It's my birthday. I'm treating myself to something.
Nice. No, you totally
treat yourself.
Should. We're sailing towards what episode is this?
I was
late. 396.
Wow. So literally within the first month of us coming back, 400.
Yes. Within the first month.
Yeah.
Huzzah.
That's crazy. Now we're gonna try to do some stuff for 400. Ha ha ha. But really, what you need to look forward to is the 10th anniversary of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, which is coming in March of 2016.
Yes,
sounds
in
right.
March.
Yep. Yeah. So we're gonna be talking more about that and what that might entail for you.
Good things, I hope.
Yes. And so, is there anything else? Or
no,
that's it. Shall I end the episode?
No, you can end the episode, sir.
And with that, OG, I will end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff the way we end some episodes by saying, troll the respawn, Jeremy.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever on. Over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea, roads go ahead.